When people are working with us, they get frustrated because they think that there are things we should know how to do. We shouldn't. We have ADHD. It makes complete sense that we struggle in these areas. When we get the right help, we are phenomenal. We have so many great ideas that we make happen. We just need a little bit of help getting there.
Hey, yo, busy brain. Welcome to my podcast. I am Camden Hainsworth, ADHD advocate, coach, and member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Understanding my own ADHD diagnosis completely changed the course of my life for the better. Now it is my mission and joy to provide you with the tools to do the same. Join me weekly. Let's create real results that work with your neurodivergence and reflect a confident life of self-acceptance, growth, and satisfaction. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. Let's get growing.
Hello, you made it. I'm so happy that you are here. My brain is busy and my heart is full. Today's episode is titled, Why You Can't Do the Thing. I want to start out by thanking so many of you for downloading this podcast and listening to it. I hope that you're finding inspiration, support, practical tips in each episode, and that it's helping you not feel so alone as we're navigating the ADHD challenges together. I'd like to invite you to leave a review. Your reviews do matter. They help others discover our podcast and join this growing community. In addition to that, your insights in the review might resonate with someone going through similar experiences, helping them know that they're not alone. I know that it requires some executive function to leave a review, but I believe in you. I know you can do it. If you could scroll down on your podcast app, under the Busy Brain Saint podcast to ratings and reviews and tap on the write a review tab and share your thoughts. I would really appreciate it. Express yourself freely. Tell us your favorite episode or your favorite takeaway. Share with us how the podcast has made a positive impact on your ADHD journey, and even mention any topics that you'd love us to cover in the future, specific to LDS life and ADHD. Your words do make a really incredible difference. I appreciate each one of you. Thank you for being a part of our community here at the Busy Brain Saint podcast and for helping us grow. Okay, on to the show. You probably grew up hearing things like, well, just do it, or why can't you get the thing done? Or I know that you've done this before. Why is it so hard now? All of these are like massive red flags for how ADHDers have experienced life. And for many of us, it still doesn't make any sense as to why we know how to complete a task, why we have completed tasks, and yet we find it so difficult at different times in our life or at different times of the day, whatever it might be, to replicate those experiences. There is something called executive dysfunction. And in order to understand what dysfunction is, it's important that we understand what function is. So executive function is a set of mental skills that include working memory, flexible thinking, and self-control. We use these skills every day to learn, work, and manage daily life. Trouble with executive function can make it hard to focus, to follow directions, and handle emotions, among other things. This is all too common among ADHDers. It's very, very relatable. One of the things that I hadn't considered before was poor impulse control. We talk about the frontal lobe of the brain every episode, so here's the reminder. The prefrontal cortex is underdeveloped and does not function as it does in neurotypical humans. And someday we'll actually change that term of neurotypical. Maybe it's like non-neurodivergence. I don't know what it might be. Anyway, when I think about executive functions as part of that, I think about impulses. And acting on impulses without considering the consequences look a lot like this. I was in, I must have been like early elementary school. We lived on a street called Aragon Street in San Diego, California. I believe it was me, my brother, and my sister. I think this is where this happened. Maybe it wasn't. I'm pretty sure it was that house. And I was young enough to be a child, but old enough to know the house rules. And we had a bathroom that had this bubble in the paint, and it looked so very satisfying to like pull and peel that paint off the wall. And so I just started in one corner as I was in the restroom, and Then by the time I knew it, it was this huge yellow circle on a white wall of the old yellow paint showing through of this white wall with a ginormous peel circle. You couldn't miss it. And I remember looking back on that and thinking, what on earth have I done? I couldn't see the consequence. I knew it wasn't a great choice. I knew that probably I would get in trouble. But there was a part of me that just couldn't regulate, couldn't stop. Now, I was young, so I had an underdeveloped brain in general, and that's why we see things like this often in young children. And then ADHDers, it seems to be even more common. I could tell you a lot of stories about my own house, but I'm going to constrain myself for the sake of my children in this episode. It's just constant. It's constant impulsivity and constant questioning of themselves. Like, why on earth would I have done that? I remember I was really mad, but I still don't understand why I made that choice. I should have made this other choice. How did I not know to do this other choice? Impulsivity is a massive part of executive functions, of that regulation of the brain. And so what this might actually look like now, as an adult, is the following. It might look like purchasing tickets or scrolling on Instagram and seeing like a really cool doodad and purchasing it, thinking that you need it. And then it comes in the mail and you recognize that you actually need the $50 more than you need the doodad, right? So the same type of thing happens as adults with ADHD that it happens often with children, but now it seems like the consequences to a degree are even more severe. And if you haven't already heard of an ADHD tax, welcome. Welcome to the term of ADHD tax. This is one of the many ways that we end up spending more money than we need, or we waste money, or money gets essentially thrown in the trash because of our lack of executive function skills. It's really stinky. It's not fun. And the more that we understand this about ourselves and our weaknesses and our challenge points, if we know that peeling paint keeps coming up over and over and over in our life, when we see something that wants to be peeled, that's paint on a wall, we now have this warning system says, warning, back away, back away. Don't go there. If we continue to push it down and ignore the fact that these types of things continue to happen over and over in our life, and we don't make a plan of action for change, we can expect them to continue to happen. And essentially, that's what I help people out with in ADHD coaching, is starting to see those patterns. And I take it on myself to also see the patterns for them and hold them in front of them and see if they resonate and make sense. Because a lot of you, I haven't known your whole life. All of you, I haven't known your whole life, but I know that you've known yourself your whole life. And hopefully by creating a safe enough space on our coaching calls, you will be honest with yourself and with me so that I can help you progress. So executive functions like impulsivity, for example, it's just this lack of self-control, lack of using our memory, our working memory to help us with our tasks, et cetera, et cetera. There are a few others that I'd also like to highlight. For example, inconsistent performance that I kind of alluded to at the beginning of this episode. If you have a child or if you've seen in yourself that it's really hard for you to demonstrate, or rather you demonstrate a variety of different levels of understanding throughout time, when it comes to performance and productivity, but you have trouble maintaining a consistent level of effort over time, then you are also in good company with ADHDers. We have a difficult time with this because it's hard and almost impossible to anticipate how much, if you will, quote unquote, brain juice we have going for us. And that changes day in and day out. That changes with our hormones. That changes with our sleep. That changes with the food we eat. And because the regulation center of the prefrontal cortex is so wonky, even the way that dopamine shows up, other neurotransmitters show up, how they are regulated in the brain and used in the brain, all of that is inconsistent. And so it completely makes sense that as our life can be expected to be up in the open, we have people, little people, big people coming and going. We have instances in the world that happen. We have constant changes in our world. We don't live in a vacuum. We don't live in a bubble. And so with that irregularity of the world we live in, compounded with the irregularity of how our brain can demonstrate what we actually know, it gets a little bit sticky sometimes. So why was your child with ADHD really happily raking leaves 2 days ago, but today they are acting like it is the end of the world and they have zero capacity to rake the leaves? Cue this. Cue inconsistent performance as an executive dysfunction. Why is it that you were able to reply to 10 emails yesterday at work, and today you can hardly draft one complete sentence for one email? Cue inconsistent performance with ADHD. I kind of giggle behind it. It is actually a really big problem, and one of the biggest reasons as to why I emphasize that ADHD is a disability. Living with ADHD can be a daily challenge, but there's hope. I'd like to introduce you to Mindful, my ADHD group coaching program, a lifeline for those navigating the complexities of ADHD. At Mindful, we provide you with valuable tools to manage ADHD symptoms, emotional support and understanding, and a non-judgmental community that gets what you're going through. We focus on enhancing your self-awareness, developing coping strategies, and nurturing your emotional well-being. Join a diverse, open-minded group of ADHD adults where you're never alone on this journey. Mindful is here to support you. Visit CamdenADHDCoaching.com/mindful today to start your path toward a more mindful life. Does that mean you should never hire someone with ADHD? Does that mean that your marriage is doomed to destruction if one of you has ADHD or both of you? No way. Okay. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that ADHD requires accommodations and knowledge in order to progress the same way that any other disability or challenge would need attention. And that's okay. Because on the flip side of this, we get to know ourselves really well in a way that many people without ADHD never get the chance to know themselves as. And I don't say that as though it's like, we should celebrate this. This is amazing. But in my own life, I am so proud of the person that I have become and that I've gotten to know because I've been forced to get to know her. And I really like her. Whereas before I knew I had ADHD and before I knew what to do with that information, I felt extremely insufficient, extremely behind, extremely slower than everyone. And now I kind of get life on the upswing on occasion, and that feels really good. I was always an overachiever. I wasn't really an underperformer. But it just took so much out of me because I was always comparing myself against people that were so very different from me, that weren't the right they weren't the right indicator to compare myself against. And it was apples and oranges. It wasn't a fair comparison. And now I know more of what I need in order to accomplish my goals. For example, with inconsistent performance, I know I need to be tracking my menstrual cycle. I need to be understanding my sleep. I need to be giving myself compassion to rest. I need to understand what I eat really does impact my brain performance. All of these things, now I know, and I have choice, and I have a better understanding of who I am. Executive function also looks like multitasking to a degree, meaning that you can have multiple things going around, multiple demands happening in your life without completely shutting down because of that regulation. When I am in my kitchen with my children, and let's say I'm in the middle of making dinner, and I've chosen a simple dinner, a dinner that doesn't have multiple steps, or if they do, they're very familiar steps, and probably has some things that I microwave or just put into the oven relatively easily. It usually doesn't require a lot of mixing and adding different spices and things to it. So a relatively simple dinner. And then you remember that you didn't pay for your daughter's basketball team. And then you have a little baby who is playing with a toy on the floor, and it's kind of tinkering down there, and you hear sounds. And you have a daughter in the next room over who's practicing for their audition. And then your other child comes in and they say, "Hey, mom, have you seen my jacket?" And all of a sudden, the jacket feels like someone is smashing your head between two cymbals in a band. Why is that? That is because of executive function. Dysfunction. That is because we become easily overwhelmed when we are faced with multiple demands. Our sensory overload is super high. The decisions we're having to make as to whether to move the baby or to get on the phone and pay for the basketball, to ask the child to turn down their audition music, like all the decisions, in addition to the actual noise level, in addition to even just the movements of people in the house, have nothing to do with the jacket, except for they have everything to do with the jacket and how we respond to yet another request. In a neurotypical brain, or a brain that was maybe a little bit more functional with regulation, they would be able to like turn baby down to like 10%, turn daughter in the other room down to like, 2% of even needing attention or anything to do with it. Put the basketball payment on the back burner for later when you're not cooking dinner, and actually your working memory would help you remember to do that. You're not trying to hold it in your working memory constantly while managing everything else. And so the very simple, quote unquote, simple dinner would be very clear as to task one, two, and three, and dinner is done. So when the other child comes in and talks about the sweatshirt, you have 60% capacity, and it's no problem. But because we don't have dials and regulations that are working and prioritizing for us constantly, it's not that we don't know how to answer the question about the sweatshirt. And it's not that we don't know how to be kind to our child. It's that everything else seems so out of control that this is like the straw that breaks the camel's back, essentially. So you might work with people that feel this way. You might have coworkers or partners or children or spouses or people in your church calling or community leaders who are exceptional human beings and that might need to just go about setting and reaching goals in a little bit different manner. They might need help breaking down tasks. They are completely capable of all the tasks, but because their executive dysfunction is so intense, they can't even begin to know where to do that. And it might seem like it's elementary to you, but what if you knew that the job that they would do was 200 times more intelligent and well done and well executed than anything you or a different partner could come up with if it just took you sitting down and helping them prioritize their tasks or break down their tasks? Would you then be willing to do that 5-minute exercise? So many times when people are working with us with ADHD, they get frustrated because they think that there are things we should know how to do. Well, guess what? We shouldn't. We have ADHD. It makes complete sense that we struggle in these areas. But what we can do for you is, when we get the right help, we are phenomenal because we have so many creative and incredible visions and great ideas that we make happen. We just need a little bit of help getting there. There's a pretty famous quote by Russell Barkley. He's an ADHD expert and has his PhD in studying ADHD. He says, ADHD is not a disorder of knowing what to do. It is a disorder of doing what you know. So when people say, well, just do it, we're like, thumbs up. Yeah, I know. If it was that easy, I would have it done. It's a disorder of doing what we know, specifically at the right times and places. So it's probably not that important to organize the sock drawer when you're throwing a holiday party this evening. Yet, many times people with ADHD find themselves organizing the sock drawer. That could be because, number one, of regulation, but they might be buffering all of the tasks and the prioritization and the things that need to be done that are overwhelming to them about that dinner party, but they know how to match the color of socks. And that is clear, and that is easy, and that is not causing decision overwhelm. So when you come home, or when you see a friend that seemingly is doing a task that looks completely off as to what they quote unquote should be doing, this is why. As ADHD coaches, we help people dig deep as to why they are in decision overwhelm, why they're in fatigue, why they're having these problems that their prefrontal cortex doesn't manage for them. And then we offer them questions to help the client come up with solutions. And it's beautiful because we take this extremely overwhelming feeling and we hold the space and the validation for them so that they can pick apart little bit by little bit what they actually need done. So whether you're the person organizing the socks or you have a friend who's organizing the socks, know that they are not being irresponsible. They're doing action to help them at least feel fulfilled on something, because the alternative is way too overwhelming. I'm going through this right now. Okay, it's November when I am recording this, and I have, amazingly enough, done all of my Christmas shopping, minus a couple little things. But for my children and my spouse, I am done. And something that I have learned about myself is when I get into decision fatigue or decision overwhelm, specifically with like Christmas gifts, fairness, all my girls are very close in age, and so fairness is a big deal with them. They are constantly comparing. We're working on it. Okay. But like how much money is spent, how much time is spent, what I spend my money on for Christmas for them, etc. I get into this massive overwhelm. And instead of trying to hold in my mind all the things that I already have at home, I have made lists this year, which has been great. I've had those on my phone. I can like go back and I can see each one of their lists and, compare those there. But I have also found that I have learned to trust myself to return things. I know you might be rolling your eyes because many of you won't return things still. And I was you as well. But I have learned to trust myself to return things. So instead of spiraling in decision overwhelm, oftentimes I'll take the three or four items that I'm trying to decide upon home and I'll keep them in the bag. And then miraculously, when I pull the bag out in the evening, it's very clear to me which things need to stay and which things need to go back. That is a multifaceted layer of progress of ADHD, which includes taking things back has been very stressful for people with ADHD and still is. I have my system now. So now I can trust myself to do that. So this is one way that fixing the returning things situation has now helped me with my decision overwhelm while I'm shopping, so that I do actually fulfill on my word and I don't fall to the ADHD tax again of not taking things back within the 30 days or whatever it might be. And this has been really helpful. So if you aren't familiar with what decision fatigue might feel like, as I just kind of mentioned it, it's a phenomenon that occurs when mental energy required for making decisions is depleted after a series of choices. So people with ADHD reach that depletion a lot faster after making smaller, quote unquote, decisions than those that have ADHD. This can vary from person to person. It's not the same across the board, but I do find that this idea of decision fatigue is real. It is very, very real. So this is a little bit of where I'm going to end today. Some things that I have helped with decision fatigue are our chore lists in the house. For example, I always load the dishes. My husband always puts them away. I brought this up 1,000 times, right? I rotate chores for my daughters. They each have one room that they're in charge of learning the ins and outs of per year. I have those tasks on a chore chart so that I don't have to remember or make a decision in the moment as to what they are doing. The chore chart decides for them. I dedicate particular parts of the day for particular activities. I get a notification every day at noon reminding me to eat lunch. And because that notification is also in my calendar, I don't schedule anything there. It just is what it is. Obviously, there's some times for flexibility, but the more that I can segment my day and segment my responsibilities, outsourcing them to things that don't forget, like pieces of paper or other people that have better working memories, etc., I do better. When I am preparing for my job, my work, my clients, I have a menu of items that I choose from. It allows me to have flexible structure, but also helps me not have to decide over 1,000 things I'm trying to keep in my working memory. So why can't you just do the thing? It's because you have ADHD and you need some accommodations and some forethought about the tasks that you are doing in order to be a bit more successful than you are with your out-of-box programming. And that's totally fine. Like I said before, nothing is lost or not all is lost because of this aspect of ADHD. I'm hoping that it empowers you to see your life through a new lens, recognize that you aren't uneducated, that you aren't without skills and abilities, but that sometimes accessing those with executive dysfunction can be very, very difficult, and that's okay. It's allowed to be difficult. Thank you so much for being here. Once again, your reviews are greatly appreciated and your insights are really appreciated. I love doing podcasts on subjects that I know you will all benefit from. So please share your feedback, your questions, and suggestions for future episodes in our reviews. I love you so much and I am always cheering you on. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Busy Brained Saint podcast. If you're eager to explore the world of ADHD coaching, make sure to connect with me on Instagram at Camden_ADHD or visit my website, CamdenADHDCoaching.com. For more LDS-specific ADHD content, don't forget to follow this podcast and join us on Instagram at The Busy Brained Saint. Listen, I'm here to support you on your journey. I cannot wait to have you as a part of our community. Stay engaged, stay inspired, and remember, you're not alone here. Thanks for being a part of the Busy Brained Saint family.